Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. We have a question and answer session today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
It's not up to us to try to reconcile God's sovereignty and goodness with anything. Our struggle is with our earthly mindedness, with the mystery, which is really not for us to unravel. We know that suffering would not have entered into the world if man had not chosen to disobey. So the question of suffering goes way back to the Garden of Eden. And we suffer for our own sins, we suffer for the sins of others, and we suffer because we are basically by nature sinners. The presence of evil and suffering in the world, that is what happened when the world fell. It is a fallen and a broken world. But the Christian view is that out of this evil and suffering, God can make something beautiful. Do you know that little song, Something Beautiful, Something Good, All My Confusions, He Understood? All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. And the scripture is very clear about this transfiguration of suffering. I mentioned Paul in his chains in prison saying, "It is my joy to suffer for you." And the worst thing that ever happened in human history was the crucifixion. The worst thing that man ever did to man was to nail the Son of God to the cross. And out of that worst event came our salvation. So there is no kind of evil or suffering which is not transformable. Read the story of Joseph. It's full of evil, full of evil perpetrated against a good man. Where was God all that time when he was being lied about by the adulterous woman? Where was God when he was in prison? God doesn't appear in that story. But in the end, because Joseph had been hated by his brothers, sold by his brothers who wanted to murder him, taken into Egypt, a slave in Pharaoh's house, out of that came his being put into a high position, which enabled him to save the life of his father and his brothers. And you remember that when his brothers recognized finally who he was, they were scared to death because they knew that he had the power to put them to death. And he said, "Don't worry about it. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." So there is no evil in the world that God is not capable of transforming into good. And I think ultimately that is exactly what he's going to do. So if you want to know what I believe is the Christian view of suffering, I would recommend that you read my book called A Path Through Suffering. It's a little bit better explanation than I can give you in a few minutes. How can we understand my yoke is easy and my burden is light when there is so much pain because of obedience? So much pain because of obedience. I immediately can think of the fact that I am a widow because of my first husband's obedience. The five women became widows. Nine children became fatherless. That's pain. I guess maybe you're thinking of something like this. How do we understand it? In light of the truth of Scripture, that God's ultimate purpose for us is fulfillment and joy. And as long as we live in this broken and fallen world, then fulfillment and joy have to come through the fallenness because of the brokenness. They are the transfiguration of that suffering. And that is what I've tried to articulate on every page of my book, A Path Through Suffering. God is not going to exempt us. We would be the most insupportably, inconceivably selfish people if we never had any suffering. It is suffering that gives us the opportunity to be perfected. As the gold is refined in the fire, so are we refined through suffering, provided we respond in faith. No disaster ever made a saint out of anybody. It's the response. As James says in chapter 1, when all kinds of trials and temptations come into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders. Welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. And Jesus was very clear in giving us a preview of coming attractions. In the world, you will have tribulation. But cheer up, I have overcome the world. And he was on his way to the cross when he said that. Lord, do with me what you want. How do you hear what to do? That's a very good question. I appreciate that. Every one of us knows something that God wants us to do. When you go out of this room, I presume God wants you to get in the car and go home, whatever, wherever you go. When you get home, I presume there will be something there that you should do. It is in faithful, humble, daily, glad obedience in the things that you know God has given you to do that our eyes are opened. We take that one step of obedience, and there's enough light for the next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Just enough light for one more step. I don't have to know what's going to happen next Wednesday. I do have to know that probably when I get home this afternoon, there will be mail to read. I open the mail, I read the mail, I answer the mail. One little thing. And that has been my experience. When Jim died, I said, Lord, if there's anything you want me to do about the Alcas, I'm available, thinking that there was no way God was ever going to ask me to do anything about the Alcas. But I had a lot of work to do on the station where Jim and I had been working together. And I was trying to do everything that Jim and I had done together. And I had a baby to take care of, and Bible to translate, and Indians to inject, and babies to deliver, and a 10-month-old child to nurse. And it was one day at a time. It is the greatest consolation in the world, I would say to any bereaved person. The greatest consolation I know of is obedience. Just do the next thing. And it is that that gives us strength. So even if that little thing you think has nothing to do with the will of God, quote unquote, this great mysterious, overarching, scary thing that we talk about, it is the will of God. Your home, your family, your relationships, your job as a student, your job as a mother, a wife, a husband, whatever, your job that you're paid for, it's the will of God. You have obligations. What are they? God will show them to you one at a time, but you must do each one faithfully. When adversity or crisis, pain, loss come our way for the believer, some believers are crushed and walk away from God. I find that unbelievable myself. I just would find it unimaginable that a real believer is ever going to walk away from God. Maybe you can believe it. Others seem to receive a gift of peace to accept, walk through, and come out the other side stronger in their faith. Do you think some receive a supernatural gift of peace? I think the supernatural gift of peace comes when we do the things that God tells us to do. For example, do not worry about anything, whatever. That's not the end of the verse. Paul tells us how not to worry. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And what will be the result of that obedience? I will not worry, I will pray, and I will thank the Lord. And what is the result? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. It isn't a gift that God gives you without you doing this to receive it. This is grace and nature. The grace of God goes to work on my nature. He always gives me something to do. He is not going to write my books for me. I wish he would sometimes. He is not going to wash your dishes for you. He has so arranged the world that we need to work. He has so arranged my relationship with him that he requires my response. He requires my obedience. And it is this joyful, mended, healed relationship which was so ruptured that now gives me joy, gives me peace. It is my life. Christ liveth in me. Are these disciplines or preparations things set in place beforehand that make the difference, or what? This is all part of the same question. I would say they are all of the above. They are disciplines, preparation, things set in place beforehand. But, you know, God doesn't expect you to know all this in one day. If you go out of here feeling, oh, I'm saturated, I'm stuffed, I'm surfeited with too much, and I can't do it, and you don't even try to do anything. It's very likely that God has spoken to you today about one thing. All this other stuff is superfluous, but God has put his finger on one thing that you need to change, that you need to quit, that you need to do, that you need to suffer, whatever it is, that's all he's asking of you. And believe me, take it from me, an old lady who has been seeking for more than 50 years to walk with the Lord, he does help you. He does show you the next thing to do. I used to worry a lot about whether I was missing the will of God. Just being of a melancholic temperament, I was always doing introspection and wasting all kinds of energy on trying to figure out if my motives were pure. And, oh, you know, it's just endless. Well, forget all that stuff and just start looking up and rejoicing and giving thanks.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.